appreciate Don and giving me a chance to share a message with you. And come here off and on for over a year or so, and it's always a privilege to hear about our message and different ideas, and just a great honor to be able to be here and to share some thoughts that I had in my studies. So before we start, I always like to start off something funny to get people to think for a minute. So there was this elderly couple, and they went to grocery store, and he usually sits in his truck, and she went in to buy the weekly groceries, and he's usually watching the truck. All of a sudden, he's seen a commotion. The police pulled up, and he's seen his wife in handcuffs coming out of the supermarket, and he went over and said, "What's going on?" "Well, your wife was shoplifting. She was stealing some food items." "Well, I'm not aware of that." "Well, she was caught. You can go down to the courthouse, and we're having arraignment today for her." So he goes down to the courthouse, and she's up there, and judge says, "Well, I see you're here for shoplifting." "Yes, Your Honor." "What did you steal?" She said, "Well, I stole a can of peaches." And he said, "Well, you know that's not right." "Yes." "How many peaches was in it?" He said, "There were 6 peaches in it." So he said, "Well, I'm going to have to give you 6 days in jail for doing this." Husband got up and said, "Your Honor, I want to say something." "Well, it's kind of unusual, but I'll let you speak." "Well, she not only stole a can of peaches, but she stole a can of peas." So, I'm going to talk about scriptural events after our first resurrection. Scripture to start with is in Jeremiah 23, beginning chapter 3. "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. A king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In these days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, Lord, our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, The Lord liveth, which brought us up, children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. But the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries wherein I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their land." Amen. So my name's Gary. I'm honored to be able to be here today. I said I like end time events, so I decided to share some thoughts on what's going to happen, what will the kingdom of God be like in the future, and that's my hope to, is everyone's hope. It's a lot of hope in the prophets and apostles of seeing the kingdom come and being with the Lord 1,000 years. So I enjoy studying future events in the Bible since I was in high school. So today I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and why I love studying end time events, happenings after the first resurrections and experiences later in the kingdom I'm going to talk about. Got a lot of scriptures, so I'll be reading from. So Job 19:25, "To know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." So Job had hope of seeing God. "Like Job, I hope that I will see God in my flesh, receive my reward, and take the dominion back that was given to Adam." So at age 8, I was raised 3rd generation in Baptist church. And I heard a compelling message on heaven and hell, and I decided to go down the aisle. And as I went down the aisle, and we met in the back room, they shared a couple scriptures with us and told me I was on my way to heaven. But yet, growing up, I didn't know much about heaven. So I began to attend some classes there at the church. And I was told, when I die, I have security now, going to heaven, won't be in hell. So the concept that I learned about in Baptist church was heaven was going to be a place where you're going to float around all the time, play golf, and have fun for eternity. And that was my concept of what heaven was about. The church held a Bible study in my teenage years on Revelation, and that began to get my thirst for Revelation, for the understanding of end time events. And as I grew up, I remember most of the time the church believed in the rapture. And if you remember in the 70s, 80s, 90s, year 2000, there's always this theory of Christ returning any time. But as you can see, we're still here. And we haven't been raptured out, or the kingdom hadn't came yet. So I began to investigate more as I began to grow up and began to study more on the end time events. I went to Judson College, a Bible college up in Illinois, for 2 weeks, and I decided it wasn't for me at that time. And I was embarrassed to go back to the church I went to, so I went to another Baptist church. I attended a couple times in the summer, but lo and behold, he had got kicked out. And he had started his own new little church. So I attended there, and 6 months later, a beautiful young lady came in, and she's sitting on the front row. I met her, and we got married, and been married 45 years. I have 4 children, 12 grandchildren, 2 more on the way, but they all live in 4 different states, so we don't get to see them too much. But they all in church, and serving the Lord, although they may not all believe the same message, but I know that they have a good background. So let's move on to my teaching. I believe that God has given each person a special ability to study different items. I know some here study history, some study current events, some study the mysteries of the Bible, some study the Constitution in relation to the church. But mine has been the law and future events. So let's look at several scriptures. First of all, I believe the word says the kingdom will be on earth. If you look at Revelation 5:10, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. We'll be made kings and priests and reign with Christ 1,000 years. In Revelation 26, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but shall be priest of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So one day I got thinking, if we are to reign with Christ as kings, then we need a territory. So I believe in the kingdom, we're going to be given an area to reign. And as a priest, we need to know the law, because the law is going to be administered again in the kingdom. So that began to raise some questions, and I began to look a little farther. And I see that in Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests unto God and the Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we're going to be made to be kings and priests in the kingdom. Now, there's different concepts people have about heaven, about the kingdom of God. So I've done investigation according to Pew Research Center 2021. They did a study about what people believe about heaven. The majority of U.S. adults say they believe in heaven and hell. 2/3 of adults believe deceased people are going to be reunited with their relatives. So when they go to heaven, they believe that they're going to receive their relatives. 69% believe that there's not going to be any suffering in heaven. They're going to meet God. They're going to have healthy bodies. This is kind of a strange one. 50% believe they're going to be reunited with their pets and animals. 44% believe that they can see what's going on Earth. So they're going to be floating around, but they can look down and see what's going on Earth. Some believe they're going to become angels. Some believe they're able to have relationships with people still living on Earth. So a fourth of those surveyed believe that they're going to come back to Earth and have relationships. And 15% believe they can stop existing whenever they want to. So we see many different views found. Additionally, they found more than 4 in 10 Republicans believe in heaven and say that people who do not believe in God cannot go there. But twice as many Republicans believe over the Democrats, which say 21% believe in heaven and hell. And Americans who live in the South are more likely than those in other regions to believe in heaven and to say that people who do not believe in God are excluded. So I just found some interesting information. You probably encountered people in different beliefs in heaven if you share the truth with them. So what about the beliefs when the kingdom will or will not be? According to Stallard, 2019, well, it's possible to label views of individual messages as to whether it happened in the past, future, or some other option. The label is usually mostly to describe one's view of the end time passages involving the tribulation period and the second coming, focused on Daniel, Revelation, and the discourse. Additionally, Stallard states, the issues are whether the tribulation, second coming passage, and those texts are fulfilled in the past, preterist, present, historicist, future, futurist, or timeless way, idealist. So I'm kind of, my opinion is that the kingdom of God hadn't come yet, Christ hadn't returned, but I know there's many different views. So this lesson is not to debate the different ideas about heaven, tribulation, second coming, but to share scriptures about the kingdom of God that I've discovered over the years and through other people that I've been around. So let's begin with the reign of Christ. So God's intention for his people is for us one day to sit down with him and to see him and to share things with him. Deuteronomy 3:3, yea, he led the people, all his saints are in thy hand, and they set down his feet, everyone shall receive thy words. So we look forward to spending time with Christ in the kingdom. It's not notes. Some say that on a regular basis we'll have supper with him. And we have the marriage feast. But when you look at the temple, somebody said there's over 50 eating areas in the new temple and plenty of time to fellowship with Christ. So let's look at Psalms 133:3. As the dew of heaven, as dew that descended from the Mount of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. Isaiah 2:2, and it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Isaiah 2:3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. Out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we see that in the kingdom, the law is going to go forth, his words are going to go forth from Jerusalem. So we know Jerusalem is going to be reestablished, and we're going to be amidst that in the land of Israel and throughout the world. So eternal life, we're going to reign with Christ. And the apostles are going to be over the 12 tribes. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So we see that one day we're going to know what tribe we're from. Some say that the Holy Spirit, after resurrection, will individually come to us and tell us what tribe we're part of. The term regeneration is from Strong's word 3824. Spiritually, renovated, specifically, Masonic restoration. So he's talking about regeneration when Messiah reigns here. So we begin to see that we're going to receive great blessings in the kingdom. God has a purpose for us on earth and in the kingdom. Those in the first resurrection will receive a hundredfold, be resurrected, receive their white garment and their everlasting life. In Matthew 19:29, and everyone that has forsaken houses, brethren, sisters, or fathers, mother, or wife, children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and inherit everlasting life. So God has a promise for those to be part of the first resurrection. So we believe we all here are part of that, of the covenant. And we're going to receive everlasting life and hundredfold return on things that we lost. So who's going to be in the kingdom? Well, there's three types of people. One, those who've been given immortality in the first resurrection. Daniel 7:27, the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So we're going to be given authority. We're going to have our immortality, and we're going to rule and reign with Christ. There's going to be other Israelites alive that come through the tribulation period. Isaiah 61:6, but then you shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast yourself. So it says we're going to eat the riches of the Gentiles. So does that mean there's going to be mortal Gentiles other than the saints who are immortal, being in the kingdom? So during that time, after the descent of Christ, the war of Armageddon, tribulation period, that's a different study, but some say a couple billion people are going to come through the tribulation. We know that many will be destroyed. So there's going to be heathens, and there's going to be some Gentiles that were not caught up in the first resurrection. Other races will be there, and they're going to serve the saints. Malachi 4:5, for all the people will walk one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. I will set my glory upon the heathen, and all the heathen shall see my judgment that I have been executed, and my hand that I have laid upon them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. So we're going to see that there's other races, other areas that we're going to have territories to rule and reign over, and they're going to serve the saints. Says the kingdom is given to the saints and never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So God's kingdom, it says, is not going to be left to other people. So what's going to go on in the kingdom? Well, we're going to judge angels. So we're going to work in a court, and we're going to be there judging things going on and judging angels. 1 Corinthians 6:1, Dare any of you have a matter against one another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that you shall judge angels? How much more things that pertaineth this life? So it says we're going to judge angels and we're going to judge the world. So saints most high, we're going to be administering as priest the law of God. We're going to have authority to carry out his law and purposes. We're going to see the full punishment of the law set back up. If you ever study the law, you know there's people are killed for doing things, hung with the sword, burned. People are brought down to be lashed in public streets. So when the true kingdom is set up and his laws go forth, people are not going to want to sin much because they're going to be punished. Unlike today, when it takes years for punishment, but in God's kingdom, it's quick punishment with two or three witnesses. So you're going to have less and less sin. And the saints are going to have great power. Matthew 21:20, when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith, doubt not, you shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast in the sea. It shall be done. And all things, in Matthew 21:22, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So we're going to have the full manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our life. We're going to be able to pray and see someone miraculously healed. We know there's going to be a lot of turmoil after the tribulation. A lot of people are going to be sick, radiation, dying. Think of what's going on in the war now. It said there's 3 million, add that 1,000-fold during after tribulation period. So we're going to have power to help people, power to to heal people, call manna down from heaven, to call fire down from heaven, to execute God's judgment with full power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Zechariah 14:5, you shall flee to the valley of mountains, for the valley of mountains shall reach in Azrael. Yea, you shall flee, like as they fled from the earthquake in days of Uriah, the king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all his saints with thee. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. So we see, I'm talking about things that's going to happen after Christ's descent. We know Christ is going to return to Mount Olives. He's going to come with the shout of the archangel. And during that time, we're going to receive our rewards. Some receive few things, some receive great things. We'll be given cities that to rule and reign over. I believe the parable in Matthew 25 is an actual happening. Verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides him 5 more talents. And the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So we see many say the joy of the Lord is the kingdom to come. So I believe that we're going to be given cities, territories to reign over. Some believe it might be back in the area that you grew up in. Some of you may reign here in the Cincinnati area. Some may reign in Alaska. Some may reign in different areas. I don't have scripture on that, just some people have been talking about that, so I'm doing some more studies. But I know and believe that we'll be given cities, some a few, some be taken away that didn't make it. And then we're going to be able to take dominion back given to Adam. And we'll have dominion over the earth to rule and reign with Christ and to see his kingdom fully come forth on the earth. Psalms 22:31, they shall come and shall declare his righteousness in the people that shall be born, that he hath done this. 78:6, the generation to come might know him, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works, but keep his commandments. So there's going to be life and death in the kingdom. People are going to be born. People are going to die. Because life is going to continue on for those that are mortal. It says children are going to play and not be hurt. Isaiah 11:8, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the ass. The weaned child shall put his hand on the cockroach's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For there shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters that cover the sea. And in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an insignia of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and the rest shall be glorious. So many times, if you're studying Scripture, when it says in that day, it refers to the kingdom that's to come. So we begin to see that children are going to be playing on the streets. They're not going to be hurt if a snake or other things come up there. When the Lord hears, he's going to answer us. In Isaiah 30:19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And let the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction. Yet shall not the teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thy eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. 25:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. So God is going to be with us. He's going to speak to us. We're going to know his direction, his purpose as we go through and rule and reign with him. So as we're ruling as kings and priests, we're going to hear from God how to judge, how to minister his judgments. It says we'll hear a word directly from God as to what to do. He will speak from behind us. Before we call, he will answer. So we're ruling over these cities. A lot of the heathen will think that we're the God because they can't access God. So we'll be given a city, be given dominion to go in and to, first of all, establish health and give them hope and the peace, and then begin to set up the rule that God has given us over the territory. A good thing that's going to happen is idols are going to be destroyed. Isaiah 30:22, you shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a mentor's cloth. Thou shalt say unto thee, get thee hence. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of increase of the earth, it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. So a child shall not die as an infant. Men will live long lives. Isaiah 65:20. There shall be no more hence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. James Fawcett Brown in Bible Commentary, written in 1891, talks about this scripture. He said, the longevity of men in the first age of the world again shall be enjoyed henceforth in that time forward. So we know that in days before Noah, that People lived long lives. The infant in the days, that is, an infant who shall not complete a few, not only complete a few days, short-lived, filled days, but he shall be at least 100 years. So none shall die without attaining full old age. A child dies 100 years. He that dieth 100 years old shall die as a mere child. So we see full life to the mortal Israelites that's on the earth. It's part of their blessing. But there's going to be sin in the kingdom. It says, a sinner dies 100 will be accursed. The sinner that dieth 100 years shall be deemed accursed. His death so early in age, which in those days, the 100th year, will be regarded just as were in male childhood, shall be deemed the effect of God's special visitation in wrath. So we see that there's going to be long life given to many of the other people on the earth. Revelation 27, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So many times when it talks about Gog and Magog, it means people, people of the earth. And continuing in verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And far came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So Fawcett continues, this passage proves that the better age to come on earth through much superior to the present will not be a perfect state. Sin and death shall have a place in it, compared in Revelation 27:8, but much less frequently now than now. And we know that Satan is loose at the end of the age because there's people in the rebellion. So we know that throughout the time on the earth, there's going to be people who are going to rebel against God. There's sin. There's people don't like the way they are. So the resurrected saints, those in the first resurrection, will be immortal. But those born during the kingdom shall enjoy a long life on the restored earth. They shall build houses and vineyards and enjoy them. Isaiah 65:21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of their tree are the days of my people, my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord and offspring with them. So you see that God has many mansions for us to dwell in. So we're going to be given a mansion. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. So as the immortals that are living here on earth are given mansions, places to live and dwell. So we're going to be blessed with a lot of great places to live in. We know the temple of God is going to be rebuilt. That's a whole different study, but if you like to read Ezekiel about it, I'll read a couple verses out of Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city be built to the Lord from the tower Haniel until the gate of the corner. And a measuring line shall let go forth against it. Upon the hill of Garbet shall encompass about to Goth. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields into the brook Kindron and to the corner of the horse gate towards the east shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or trodden down any more forever. So So, like I said, temple study is a whole different study, but we know that God's going to build a great temple for him to dwell in. So what are some other things that we might see in Jerusalem? Old men and old women dwell in the midst. Full children, thus saith the Lord, I returned into Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, the mountain of the Lord, the host of the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord in Zechariah, there shall be yet old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand, for very aged. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. So we're going to see a lot of children, a lot of happiness, a lot of things going on in the streets in Jerusalem. Many nations are going to come to Jerusalem to be taught the law. The law is going to go forth out of Zion. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come up and say, come, let us go up to the mount of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. And he will teach us his ways, he will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word from Jerusalem. So we're going to be celebrating the feasts again. Three-yearly feast will be reestablished. All nations will come up year to year. All shall come to Jerusalem to keep the feast every year. Zechariah 14:6, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came in against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And then there's a punishment if someone doesn't come up to the feast. If the families from Egypt don't come to worship, then they're not going to get any rain. Continue 14:17. And it shall be that he shall will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon him shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherein the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacle. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of tabernacles. So we see that God's going to give plagues to Egypt, to those that do not come up to keep the feast. Some strange things that I found that's going to happen during that time. In Ezekiel 9, the weapons that are left over from the war, it's going to take 7 years to be used as fuel. So from the great destruction, Ezekiel 39:9, and they that dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth, and they shall set on fire and burn their weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and arrows, and the hand staves and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years, so that they shall take no wood out of the field, neither cut down any out of the forest. For they shall burn the weapons with fire, they shall spoil those that spoil them, and rob those that rob them, saith the Lord. So we know there's going to be mass destruction coming through the tribulation. So think about it, 7 years to gather up all the destruction, and you don't not have to have any wood, so you're going to get free fuel that year, but you'll be able to gather it up, and it's going to take 7 years to burn up all the weapons of war. Another interesting fact, Ezekiel 39:12, in 7 months shall the house of Israel be burying of them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and shall be to them a renown the day I shall be glorified, saith the Lord. So for 7 months, house of Israel is going to be going throughout the land, burying the dead. And then after that, people are hard after 7 months to bury and search for bodies. Ezekiel 39:14, And they shall sever out men of continued employment, passing through the land, to bury with the pastures those that remain upon the face of the earth, to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search. And the pastures that pass through the land, when they see the man's bone, then shall he set upon his sign, till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hamagod. So people are going to be hard to go around to look for dead bodies after the 7 months. They're going to be paid to go throughout the land to mark it. And if you see a dead body, you have it marked, and somebody's going to come along and bury it, because that's part of God's cleansing of the land. And Israel is going to enjoy the spoils of the heathen. Jeremiah 33, "For lo, the day cometh, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land I gave to their fathers, they shall possess it." So we're going to possess the land that was given through Abraham to us. "Therefore fear not thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee far, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, shall be at rest, and be quiet, and thou shalt make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." So we see that we're going to be given our land. We shall rule over the heathen, and God gives us all the earth to Israel. This is one of my favorite psalms, in Psalms 2. I'll begin in 6. "Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give the heathen for thy inheritance, and the othermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." So God is going to give us the heathen for inheritance and other most parts of the earth for our possession. So I shared many different scriptures about the kingdom of God. Many of the scriptures are pretty obvious. It says the kingdom of God. Some of the scriptures require study to see how it relates. So I just encourage you to think about these scriptures. It brings me a lot of hope to see what we're going to be doing in the kingdom. We're not just going to be floating around on clouds, but we're going to be ruling and reigning, taking back dominion given to Adam. We're going to have a place to reign, a place to gather, feast again with Christ, begin to see his law go forth again into the earth. And it's a great time of ruling, reigning with him that he's preparing us now as we go through adversity, because we are in being schooled, but one day our inheritance will come. So take these scriptures, study them for yourself. Final scripture, Revelation 2:25. "But that which you have already hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations."